Chippendale Rescue Rangers. Join Chippendale's Rescue Rangers to thwart Fat Cat's evil attempt to control the city. Welcome to Nostalgia, a chronological exploration of every NES game released in North America. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Joe.
Chippendale. This will be about the Disney cartoon, not the popular male dancers, although that would have been a totally different kind of video game. Probably would not have gotten the official Nintendo seal of quality. Enough about that, though. Chippendale Rescue Rangers. Do you guys watch this show at all? Are you familiar with Chippendale, or do you just think of them as, like, Mickey Mouse sidekicks?
For a while, I thought that that there was no such thing as, like, Disney's Chippendale, and it's always just been male strippers. But this game reminded me that there was a cartoon.
But, like, they were separate from Mickey Mouse. Like, they're not like Donald and Goofy and Pluto levels of Mickey Mouse. Like, they were like their own thing.
No, yeah, right? Yeah. They're like Geppetto in a sense, you know, like how
they're
he's
from
like,
a different property.
Like, yeah, but he like they show up with Mickey from time to time.
Does
you know,
Geppetto
it's like,
show up with Mickey other than in like Kingdom Hearts?
Absolutely, yeah. He was like, or rather, he just shows up in Disney things outside of Pinocchio, I guess. It's like Chip and Dale exist outside of the Rescue Rangers.
Gotcha. So I know them mostly from Kingdom Hearts. And even in Kingdom Hearts, one of my favorite games of all time, I didn't really care for Chippendale.
They are a bit annoying, aren't they? Yeah. And specifically in the show, too. It sounds like you guys didn't watch the show. But in the show, I would say that, you know, they're not even... I don't know how many characters there are, so I can't make this joke. But they're not even, like, top four of the Rescue Rangers. They're the bottom of the Rangers, in my opinion. And obviously, everybody knows Gadget.
I've never heard of Gadget. I've only heard of Chippendale.
You don't know Gadget?
I mean, now I know Gadget.
I don't know what kind of show this is, but I will say that for a lot of people in that time, you know, Gadget was a bit of like people had an awakening with Gadget.
They had a crush on a mouse?
They had a crush on a mouse. It's a known thing. It's the basically... It's the start of something, you know, the Pink
Ranger.
Like,
I understand What's-Her-Face from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because she's human.
April.
And I even understand the bunny Lola.
Lola Bunny? No, no.
Well, not Lola, whatever, from Space
from the,
Jam,
from
because
movie,
she
right?
was incredibly sexualized.
Yeah.
Lola Bunny. She's just like a squirrel thing. Mouse squirrel.
Mm, well, you know, Sean, you know the rules, okay? If it exists. All right? But yeah, obviously, yes, there's a thing for everything, but I was joking anyway. I don't know. She's a mouse. You're right. I'm just saying that it's a known thing.
Okay.
All right? Enough of that. Enough of the show, because I can't even talk to you people about the show because you didn't
ever
watch it.
Ever since that one question we had in the Patreon mailbag,
everything's gone wild since then. Yeah, this is. We were talking about the Chippendale male strippers. Disney wouldn't want us talking about that.
In this game?
Yeah, Disney would not want us talking about that. So instead, we're going to talk about the kind of things Disney wants us to talk about, and that is the fact that they are having some pretty good NES games here with the assistance of Capcom. If you recall, we played DuckTales, and that had a controversially great review on the episode, but did not make it to the Essential Games list until we got to the Best Of episode, where we were like, yeah, what were we thinking, actually? Like, this is just as worthy as anything else. And so Chippendale has the DuckTales thing going behind it, but it also has, like, you know, these are the same guys who make... the Mega Man games. Like, it's that same development team. And so, first, do you feel any form of DuckTales or Mega Man in this game? And then second, is this game, if you do notice some similarities with those games, is this like the baby version of a Mega Man game where, like, you know, Mega Man games are famously, like, a little challenging, especially in the Wily stages? Is this like a beginner's approach to getting better at those kinds of games?
So I didn't associate this so much with Mega Man while playing it, but I did associate it with DuckTales, at least in the level of creativity, not in the types of creativity. Like, it is not super similar to DuckTales, but I was just impressed because they're both games that, like, could have easily just been, like, clones of every other platformer doing the same thing. And, like, you know, DuckTales has the sort of movement mechanic that's, like, very different and, like, kind of that, like, proto Shovel Knight feeling thing. But this is, like, got... As I'm playing, I just keep discovering, like, more things you can do, more ways you can play it. Like, you know, you can't attack things head-on, which is different to think about for a platformer like this compared to most platformers. You're kind of Super Mario Brothers 2 style picking up things, but, like, frankly, the more smooth scrolling rather than screens makes this, like, a little more fun of movement than Super Mario Brothers 2. And it, I don't know, there's, like, things that you can pick things up, throw them, you can hide underneath the boxes. There's all kinds of, like, there's all kinds of creative gameplay designs here.
Yeah, and one thing that I'll also give them credit for is, when I started playing the game, I didn't even know what the hook was, because I didn't know you could pick anything up. Because, again, I didn't read the manual. But they did do the correct, like, tutorialization thing where they set up a gate and you cannot get any farther in, like, the first level unless you finally pick stuff up and, like, stack some blocks together to create, like, a ladder. And then I was like, oh, and then I was much more excited about the game, because up till that point, it kind of felt like there was nothing to it. And I would have agreed with Mike saying this is a baby game, and I'm not saying that, like, everything gets super complex and difficult from that moment, but there was a lot more room to just enjoy stuff once you actually know what the hook of the game is.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that moment where you have to stack the block, Sean, because there is a moment before that too where you know, you are without any sort of ability to attack, and yet the enemies get seemingly more aggressive. It's those mechanical mice that are coming after you, and you're like, okay, well, how? What am I just supposed to be dodging everything in this game? Like, if you didn't figure it out by then, right? Like, then the very next moment where you have to pick up stuff is like the aha moment. But you know, the ability to pick everything up, as Joe mentioned, feels very Super Mario Brothers 2, maybe because this is a, you know, this is a platforming game, and that is definitely, like, the notable switch from Super Mario Brothers 1 to Super Mario Brothers 2. But I would say that I didn't mean to call this a baby game in the sense of, like, it's so unchallenging. It's just definitely easier than the usual Capcom output that we get, and I think that's a welcome change here.
Yeah, it was a lot more relaxing.
Yeah, but I definitely wouldn't call the game easy, at least by my skill level.
It was cozier.
Yes.
A little confused about the scale, though, of the world that Chip and Dale live in. Are they, like, really, really small? Like, you know, they're chipmunks, right? Like, are these the biggest trees ever? Or did they walk into the biggest diner ever? Like, the scale is a little off, right?
Wait, yeah, because you're not even, like, a quarter of the height of a book. So, I think that's not, like, really game works, you know?
Do you mean, like, a book that is flat on its, or is it, like, is it laying on its spine and stacked up? I don't remember, but, like, this chipmunk's pretty small.
Yeah, but, like, one tree is, like, the whole level, Joe.
Okay, well, then,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Probably too small.
Yeah, and those boxes are too small, even.
Well, this is also boxes. Me, who hasn't seen the show, so I shouldn't be complaining. I'm taking it at face value. You should be complaining.
Now, do you think it's weird that everything in the game, or we're saying everything, but, like, common sense everything that you can pick up in this game, and then at times they just give you, like, a red ball to throw at like, bosses or you know, the shiny red ball to be like, hey, use this. Do you think that's necessary? Should they have just figured out a more, like, real world object, because the whole idea of like, you know, oh, like they're so small and they live in this human world. Like, it feels weird that this red ball always like shows up at the end and not like something relevant to the theme of the level.
I guess the explanation that they might give is like, oh, well, you know, you might run out of boxes. So we're just going to make this like the unlimited thing you can throw. But you could have also made other items an unlimited object that like will land and you can pick up again. But no, they just decided that was going to be that's going to be the boss item.
I feel like what it should have been, is like each boss should have had their own item. Like, you know, like the robot could have had like a bolt or something that's just like loose and sitting there. You throw up and you know, it would have been a nice little touch. But is there something to like the red ball? Is that like a thing in Chip and Dale, or is it just
maybe
because they use apples in other parts of the level? Why not just be an apple?
Well, I guess that's what I was saying too, right? Is like, why not just make it any other object
other than an object.
Just like, The levels, as they are, you know, Capcom obviously has proven themselves by now to be great at designing platforming stages and not have like cheap tricks or whatever. But, you know, the whole thing is that it's supposed to be a little more playful, both in theme and in enemy design and in the world that you're walking through. So, how effective was that? I'm jumping right to that, like, kangaroo who has a bunch of tennis balls in his pocket, so he swings them at you. Like, that's the kind of clever, creative, funny stuff that, like, you want to see more of in this style of game.
Yeah, I think the boss design, the enemy designs, like, they were unique in each level, and some of them had, like, different aspects, like, there's one where you're just in a toy box or maybe a toy store, and there's a bunch of jacks in the box. I believe that might be the correct plural. And you know, they function like
not just one box. That would be a bunch of jacks in one box.
Okay, jacks in boxes.
Thank you.
And like that sort of helps kind of be the like piranha plant. If we're gonna make this like a Mario comparison, and then you got enemies that have different sizes and they take more than one hit, and there's like different like if you hit them once they act in a different way, if you hit them twice then they disappear, and you got stuff that's sort of interactive in the background, whether they're faucets or switches. Like, there's a lot going on in the level design here.
Yeah, and then even, like, in one of the later levels, there's those pelicans that will, like, if you hit them in the face, they will, like, swallow whatever you threw at them and, like, spit it back out at you, rather than, like, yeah, like, the first enemy that does that. Like, I was impressed with how each level didn't just reuse all the enemies. Like, they kept introducing new things that weren't just new sprites. They were also, like, they behaved in totally different ways that you had to think about slightly differently.
Yes, but there were some moments, specifically in the themes of the stages, other than just like character small, world big style tropes, there wasn't, sometimes the backgrounds weren't to life, you know? Like you're walking through that library of books, but the books don't do anything other than just act as new different kinds of platforming blocks. Or there were those ceiling fans that you jump on, but they don't spin, you know, light bulbs that don't light up, that like if they were lit, they would be too hot to stand on. Most of the diner stuff is like, yeah, there's dials and stuff, but it's not like the dials spin around as you're walking on them. I would have appreciated some more lived in dynamic environments.
I think this is where like I really disagree with that, because I feel like, I mean, any game is going to have platforms that are just platforms, but I felt like this game was riddled with things like you're describing, where it's like the faucets that you have to jump on the faucets to turn in that one level to shut the faucet off to make your way through. Or there's like there's something that spins when you go by them. I don't remember what I guess it's not fans, but it's like these like top like things that spin as you jump by them. I mean, there were like tons of little like environmental platforms that you have to, there's like on and off switches that like you have to jump on the switch to turn it off to like stop the flow of some sort of projectile. And then if you hit it from below, you turn it back to the ons. You know, these platforms where it's like just jumping on them affects the whole environment in a totally different way. Like, I thought there was more of that in this game than I had seen really in any game we've played.
I kind of agree with both of your points here, where, like, I think that there's a lot of interaction here, and the levels are dynamic, but I also agree that there are some, I'm not going to call it a missed opportunity, but, like, they had the opportunity to make it even more dynamic, but I'm not going to fault them for not having it just be a bonanza, you know?
Yeah, I guess I'm seeing it more as, like, they have all these interactable objects, plus they have just regular platforms, and rather than just making the regular platform something mundane, they also made those designed in like a level-specific, interesting way.
Yeah, I wasn't saying that it never happens either. I was just saying that it's a little confusing that it's only like 50% of the time, but I understand what you're saying, Joe, that like sometimes you just need a different, you know, you need a different form of block without just being a block, so the books act as that. Do we care at all about the story with Fat Cat and he's kidnapped Gadget and stuff like that? Are you on the edge of your seat for that kind of stuff, or are you just like get me to the next level?
More so that. I mean, I saw the cutscenes. The cutscenes are fun. Most of them are just Gadget saying like, "Oh, I saw these things. Like, this is how you defeat them," or here's a hint. But there was like one moment where Fat Cat shows up, and then it's the end of the game, and you beat him in the casino. So it seemed like the game didn't really care that much about the story either, so I didn't either.
It felt like the game didn't care about the story after the first cutscene, where the game really cared about the story.
Yeah.
It was just like, maybe if you're a big Chippendale fan, you want that like 8 minutes of them talking about like who they are and like what's good, what the plan is, and you go do this and voila, go do this, and it's like, we're only playing as Chip or Dale, so like what everyone else is doing like doesn't matter to me. But like I would have just as easily preferred like, oh no, Fat Cat's on the loose, let's go get him. The game starts.
But it's like a non-offensive entry in the Chip and Dale Rescue Ranger. Like, it's not like a retelling of a story or whatever, but it's not like changing what you know if you're a kid excited by a new adventure, you know? Like, I think it's just, it's there, but
it doesn't deconstruct Chip and Dale like it could have.
Not like that new Disney movie did. The new Chip and Dale movie that was
a new Chip and Dale movie.
Well, I say there's no like, it's not a sequel to anything, but it was supposed to be like Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, but it's really more like Who Framed Roger Rabbit 2, and it's an amazing movie. I can't recommend it enough. It kind of like went under the radar because it just went straight to Disney Plus, but it subverts expectations in every scene. I really enjoyed it. However, that's not what I'm here to talk about today. What I meant is that, like, you know, you have to keep in mind, similar to how I was saying that this game is a little bit on the easy side, whether you guys want to put your foot on that line or not, it is definitely an easier game than Mega Man. This is also just, you know, it's a game for kids who are watching this as a Saturday morning cartoon, and I think it gets the job done of, like, not what Ghostbusters did, where Ghostbusters was like, oh yeah, people love Ghostbusters and they want to have their own Ghostbusters franchise and they want to feel what it's like to run that business. You know, it's not like, oh, people love Chip and Dale because they solve mysteries and this should be an RPG where you go around interrogating people and trying to track down, you know, Gadget by collecting clues through various parts of town. You know, like they understood the assignment here. And at least from what I get from the development side is that this was also a very straightforward, like, Capcom developed the game, they sent it to Disney, and Disney was like, this is great, no notes. Like, that's pretty impressive.
I mean, I guess we're kind of guessing that it was that simple, but I would probably agree that that's how.
Oh, no, I'm saying, like, according to a then Disney game producer, they said that this was the least troublesome Capcom project that they had with them, and that it was just like, the company was like, yeah, we weren't saying like, hey, I wouldn't have Dale do this, you know? Like, they didn't give anybody a gun or anything that would resemble a gun, you know? Because, like, that's a thing that people have to be aware of, is, like, how these IPs that they're very precious over, like, what they can do. And so the fact that they're just, like, throwing red balls, it's like, that's safe, but it's also fine. And it's fun, that red ball, when you're throwing it at the bosses and it bounces back on the walls and stuff, or it comes back at you. I was surprised by that in a way I wasn't in Super Mario Brothers 2, to use that as a reference of like, did they refine the combat from Super Mario Brothers 2?
I'm just surprised that you sort of offhandedly mentioned this as if it was a joke, but that's actually how the development went down. I appreciate that.
Well, there you go. And kudos to you for making me dig deeper.
They did sneak in one thing that resembles a gun. There's an enemy that is kind of like this little like mobster lizard looking thing, and he has like a plunger gun.
Whoa. But this is pre-Sopranos, so the mafia is like funny.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like, yeah, it's not a threat to our society.
Chip, are you in the mafia?
No, Dale is in the mafia.
Thank you for bringing that up, guys, because I was going to ask if you think it's a missed opportunity that Chip and Dale don't act or behave differently in the way that, like, you know, even as small as Mario and Luigi, like, Luigi has a taller jump. Like, should that have been under consideration that Chip and Dale have, like, I don't know how you would do it based on their personalities, but, like, should there have been a change?
I think that just because, I mean, a single player, you're just playing as Chip. They don't give you the option to play as Luigi.
Yes. No, they give you Dale.
Oh, they do give you Dale.
They do give you Dale. You do get to choose, but I completely forgot about that. That's okay. But you are correct that they don't give you the option to choose Luigi. You did say that, and that
did
is
I say
true.
That?
You did say that, and so I just want you to know that you cannot play as Luigi in this game, even if you go to the fountain and read L is real.
That does suck that you can't, that they don't give you that option. But you're right. I don't actually have a point then.
So, Joe, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that I started out playing as Chip, and when I was having some trouble, I switched to Dale, and I expected Dale to be like, I was like, oh, this should be totally different than Chip. Like, I thought Dale was going to be like a juggernaut and have like, you know, 80,000 HP and have fireballs and whatnot. But to my surprise, all that's different is that Chip has a hat. And Dale does not, and that kind of disappoints me because the hat is so cool, but Dale is obviously the better chipmunk.
So you Dale heads, tell me, do they have different personalities in the show?
I have no idea, but I would assume.
They not only do they have different personalities in the show, but not to go back to the movie, the movie on Disney Plus, but what's funny about that one is that Dale, the one without the hat, this is funny. He got a CG facelift, essentially. Like, he went
like
through
surgery.
No, yeah, but he went through surgery, you know, like, because in this world, like, you know, after the hit TV show Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, you know, to reinvent himself, he went CG, the same way that, like, actors in our world do, like, Botox, you know? Like, I think that's funny.
So Dale is the more, like, insecure, like cares about his looks type, and Chip is sort of like, come as you are, come what may.
Chip is more of the straight man and Dale's the comic relief.
But wait, so is Dale in this whole movie CG while Chip is like traditional animation?
You better believe it.
That's amazing.
This movie also takes place in real life, I should say. So it is, that's what I'm saying, the Who Framed Roger Rabbit Part 2.
Yeah.
Because they're also interacting with humans. And the show was just a TV show, and then Chip kind of, like, retired after that, but Dale kept trying to, like, make a career out of it, but he's basically a struggling, failing actor, and they have to get together to solve a crime, and you'll never guess, because I mean it, you will actually never guess who the villain of this movie is. It's insane.
Tony Soprano.
Is it, like, Bob Iger?
enough about the hit movie Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers. Let's talk about the hit NES video game Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers. Not that every Disney game that gets released by Capcom needs to be DuckTales, but since it's on the Essential Games list, it is worth talking about that this isn't DuckTales-like, other than it being a platformer where you can also just choose which stage you want to go to next. It doesn't have that whole, like, missables and secrets section that the DuckTales levels had, where you needed a certain amount of coin, or if you check this section of the level. Chip 'n Dale is a little more straightforward, where, like, yeah, there's a section where, like, oh, you see something you might be able to reach, so stack up some platforms to get up there, and you don't have to do that to proceed. However, there's no, you know, there's no, like, interaction with the other Chip 'n Dale members or trying to find another exit or something in the Chip 'n Dale game. Does that make sense? That's kind of what I'm
saying. Yeah, I mean, the only thing, all those things are rewarded with, like, one-ups. And there's nothing... It's much more simple in what it rewards exploration with, and it's not even really exploration. It's just like, oh, can I go to that high spot?
Right, right. And I should say that, you know, other characters do show up. It's just in the sense of, like, I think Zipper shows up. He's the invincibility thing, which is really cool, the way that that works in this game.
Oh, it's not just like, that was, you know, a character.
You're not just, like, with the superstar or whatever and just run through the enemies. Zipper's, like, kicking butt, which is really cool.
Yeah, that was really neat. It's like, yeah, he just, like, systematically takes down any enemy, like, before you can even reach them.
But it didn't feel as involved as the levels for DuckTales. But it's not trying to be DuckTales, so I think that's fine, right? It doesn't feel like they need to be compared. We're just comparing them because they happen to both be Disney games released by Capcom. So what is the, like, is Super Mario Brothers 2 the comparison point here?
I think it's, I mean, sort of, but it's also different enough from that I don't know, it feels like kind of its own thing, you know. I guess I'd have to, like, the closest thing I would compare it to would be a Mario game, just because of the way it moves, and it's a platformer, and it's good, whereas in, like, a lot of platformers we play aren't as smooth and good feeling as, like, these different Mario games. But, like, it feels like it has enough of its own identity to, like, that it's hard to pick a game to make its contemporary.
Yeah, I feel like it's more fast-paced than Mario Brothers 2 as well, and it's got its own vibe.
It's almost like, to me, like a combination. It's like halfway between Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers 2, where it's like you are moving fast and attacking things quickly, but also you have to be, like, a little more, you know, a little more cerebral about, like, picking things up and, like, attacking in that manner rather than just, like, jumping on stuff.
I want to see the like the tag list for this game as, like, you know, it would be like third person shooter, like mystery, choices matter, and then, like, for Chip 'n Dale, it's cerebral.
I was just gonna say, I knew that's where you were going to. Yeah, this is a very cerebral game. It's like The Witness.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, did we talk about, like, the optional levels?
No, let's talk about the optional levels. In fact, let's talk about the fact that levels are selectable at all, because It doesn't feel that way when you first see the level select screen. Like, it feels like there is a path and you should be going in order, but you don't have to do that.
Well, so at the beginning, there's kind of like two paths, and none of them to me seem like, there's like a split, a fork in the road, and none of them seem like the optimal path or anything. I mean, one does look like it has one extra level, but I just picked one. I don't remember which way I went, but I actually didn't do any of the optional levels. I beat the game, but I just kind of beelined it. But then as I'm watching footage for it, like, some of these other levels, I'm just like, wow, I'm kind of bummed I missed out on some of this, because they also look unique and interesting.
I played them all. I guess I didn't test it, but I figured that you had to play them all to move on or to beat the game. I didn't realize there was going to be a second screen. So I just played them all.
And it's interesting that there isn't, like, this isn't the kind of game where there's a reward for going out of your way. Like, even in the Super Mario Brothers 3 map, right, there's the fast way to clear it, But then there's like the, oh, well, Toad's house is locked behind this level, or some, you know, some cool shortcut thing is locked behind if I go this route. Here it's just like, you know, it's just a different way to the same path. So it's not like you got a new item that you only found in, I'm not sure why the stages are just have a letter over them. Maybe that's just the easiest way to differentiate them.
That they're kind of giving you a way to play less of the game. Like, I think like the, you know, having an overworld is cool and all, but if you're not going to do anything with it and just have each of them be letters and there's no actual like strategic path unless you're trying to beat the game the fastest way possible. I don't really know what it's there for.
Yeah, I guess I was confused on like what the benefit or the reward is for doing the optional levels. And it seems like there really isn't one other than playing more game, which is great. But like, I would like some context or like a reason to want to try and go there.
Which goes back to my thought of, you know, again, that this game is first and foremost for kids. And so it is just kind of like the illusion of choice. But also, you know, yeah, you should be able to complete this game if you try at it. I mean, it sounds like did we all beat this game?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is just like DuckTales, where we all beat that game, too. It's like, I'm not trying to say that we're terrible at video games. I'm probably pretty good at NES games by now. But usually we don't beat NES games. Like, we understand them, we play them, we know the tropes, but we don't usually beat them. And now this is the second time in a row. And so whether the mandate's coming from Capcom or from Disney, these are games that a six-year-old should hopefully, with some time and practice, beat, as opposed to a six-year-old will probably never beat Ghost and Goblins, a game that was also made by the same guy who made Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Oh, wow.
See, but that's crazy to think about, because on one hand, it's easier because, you know, maybe because Disney wants it to be easier to be for kids. But on the other hand, it's easier because it's just really well designed in a way where it doesn't feel broken or unfair, where at times Ghost and Goblins did. So, like, I was almost going to say, like, it's probably a combination of Disney wanting it to be easy and Capcom being good enough at making games that they're not frustrating in ways that aren't intended. But then I was surprised to hear or to remember that they, you know, Ghost and Goblins was like the same guy.
Yeah, yeah, but keep in mind, sometimes easy means boring, right? Like, you can play, any of us could beat those Sesame Street NES games.
Right.
But that would be boring. I mean, yeah. Right, right.
It's like the combination of, like, make it easy, but also have these good developers who know what they're doing and know how to make good game design. So it's like, because, like, it is easier than a lot of games, but, like, it's tough. You know, maybe just for me. I mean, Mike, come on, you can't forget the time me and you sat down and played this, like, a dozen times as Chip and couldn't get anywhere until we finally switched to Dale.
Yeah,
but, like,
once we
had trouble.
It took just Dale getting involved to, like, wake us up a little bit.
Oh, so you guys played this game together, huh?
we forgot we didn't invite Sean to that. I mean, we did live together for a little while, so it was...
It was while we were living together, if it makes you feel better.
You were playing that far ahead?
This is before the podcast was even invented.
Years ahead.
This is when this was still no experience necessary days.
Wow.
Right, which turns out you did need some experience as Chip in order to win as Dale. So that was all just really a roundabout way to say that, like, especially even now, like in modern video gaming, like it's okay to be easy. Easy doesn't mean it's not challenging. And I would liken Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers on the NES to Spider-Man 2 on PS5, where, like, you're not going to die very often in that game, and the enemies really don't give Spider-Man much challenge. But should they? Like, isn't it just fine that, like, he has all these awesome gadgets and does all these really cool web abilities and just takes down regular street foes? Like, shouldn't that be how most encounters with Spider-Man go? And so really, aren't Chip and Dale like Spider-Man? Aren't they superheroes? Isn't that how Dale, it should go? Yeah. And so, like, you know, it makes sense that, like, most enemies in this game are just like, okay, make sure I have an object to throw at them, and then when I throw it at them, they go away. I won't say die because it's a Disney game. They just go away. But, you know, and then it makes sense that, like, the boss is a little more challenging or a little more involved and has, like, his own thing going on. Even the very first boss caught me for a loop with that, like, it has like a bunch of different hands and stuff. I don't even know how to describe it, because is it like, is that a known thing, or is that just like a creation of the game?
Yeah, I have no idea what that
was. I have no idea what that is, but it has like hands and it looks like brushes on some of the others. It looks like it'll do your haircut, but also that thing that like has electricity, and when you touch it, it, you know, that ball, and when the you
Tesla
touch it,
coil. Oh yeah,
the Tesla coil. It looks like a Tesla coil with animated hands, and that's a pretty challenging like thing that's not really like in your way or whatever, but it's definitely more challenging than anything you've faced in the game in the first levels otherwise. So I appreciate this, like, this way of making a game that makes you feel in charge. Like, you want to feel good at video games, right?
Yeah.
I hate playing video games that I'm bad at.
Well, I will also just say real quick that, like, I did die. Like, this isn't the easiest possible video game. Like, there were parts that gave me trouble, and I did beat the game, but it doesn't mean that there was no obstacles. So I just don't want to get that twisted.
I would say that this is not as easy as Kirby's Dream Land, but it gives me similar, like, level of difficulty vibes.
Okay.
I don't know why that's my comparison. Like, everybody knows that comparison.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, I should just say that, like, you know, this isn't as easy as eating breakfast. Like, everybody eats breakfast for the most part successfully, unless you step on your George Foreman grill when you wake up in the morning.
Office reference.
There you go. Yes, that was an Office reference. And here's a reference to a podcast known as Nostalgia. It's the Essential Games List. You know, I had to think about this one because we did screw up DuckTales. And I feel confident now that that's on the Essential Games List that we eventually made the right call. And so I think I've got to do the reverse here. And I've got to try to get Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers on the Essential Games List so that I then have time to decide if I want to take it off later rather than not put it on like we did with DuckTales. And the reason I want to put it on is probably for the thing we talked about most on this episode, is that it's okay that this game is easy. I was actually surprised to find out that, like, reception in video game magazines at the time of its release were, like, bringing it down for the difficulty. But, like, doesn't it feel good to play an NES game that just controls well, can be beaten in, like, an hour or two? Yes, you will die, as Sean pointed out. That's fine. Everybody dies eventually. But Chip 'n Dale live forever on the Essential Games List, at least for me. They're getting my vote. Sean?
Yeah, I did enjoy playing this game. I don't think it's on the same level as DuckTales, though. I think that was sort of like lightning in a bottle. And I think this is still a lot of fun to play. And not as easy as Mike is alluding to, but still relatively easy and able to be enjoyed by almost everyone. But I don't know if it's the same awesomeness that DuckTales was. So I'm definitely gonna say it's a play it, but I can't say it's an essential game.
Joe.
So when I started playing, I was like, oh, okay, this is like an interesting, this seems pretty fun, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna really have to like grapple with this as we go on, like, should this go on the essential games list? Because it does seem, you know, this is like level one. I'm like, it's very charming, and it's very interesting. But as I'm playing throughout, like, kind of all doubts sort of melted away. Like, I think that this game is so well designed. Like, not just in, like, that, like, it's accessible or that it's bright and colorful, but, like, there's, like, a big part of it for me where those things I was talking, those environmental things I was talking about earlier, like having to turn the faucet off to get through this level, or having to flip switches on the walls, or like come up with different little, you know, it's never puzzly or anything, but like it's fun, and it's clever the way that the levels are designed and the way that the game's designed. And like, I think that as much as I definitely regretted not putting DuckTales on the Essential Games List, this one jumped out at me a little more quickly, and I don't know. I'd say it's at least on the level of DuckTales, albeit it's doing something very different than DuckTales. But I definitely I landed on this should be an essential game.
I might go as controversial as to say, because we said it so many times in this episode, comparing it to Super Mario Brothers 2, that if Chip and Dale just controlled a little differently, right? If you could play as the Mario and Luigi versions of them so that the stages felt a little different as you swapped between them or something, this game might be better than Super Mario Brothers 2 in that regard. So that's kind of crazy to say, and Super Mario Brothers 2 is an essential game. Sean, would it have changed your mind at all if I would have let you know that Nintendo Power ranked this as the 79th greatest Nintendo game of all time on their list of 100 greatest Nintendo games?
I don't know. Should that have bearing?
Should I tell you that IGN in 2009 placed this game 71st on their list of 100 greatest NES games? Radar ranked this game 6th on their list of the 7 best Disney games? It's like, what are these lists? Thank you for pointing that out, Sean. Yes, it should have no bearing on you. You should not be influenced by what other people think. I do like that last list specifically, though.
That's second last?
Yeah, second to last on the best Disney games, but they only chose 7. So yeah, technically, seven. There is no last place, right? Like, 7th doesn't
suck. Well,
7 of 7. Yeah, but when you're covering, like, if I'm saying, like, okay, here's my top 3 Mario games, number 3 doesn't suck. Right? Like,
you're right.
It's weird wording.
I can't believe that 5 of the Kingdom Hearts games and then Chip and Dale were on this list like that.
Everybody's assignment this weekend is to watch Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers on Disney Plus. If you don't have Disney Plus, maybe
pirate it.
Yeah, sure. Then Chip and Dale will be sent to your house to investigate how you did that. Because Bob Iger, unfortunately, not the villain, Joe. I will strike that one down because I did kind of set it up like that would be something cool that they would do. They're not that cool, but it is pretty neat. Okay, it's not cool, but it's neat.
Okay, neat. Is it the second time you used that word this episode?
I don't think I used it yet. Week? Yeah, last week.
I get my weeks confused.
Yeah. Speaking of last week we played Castle of Dragon. Next week we're playing Dragon Spirit, the new legend. I know nothing about that one. You want to take a guess? Dragon Spirit, the new legend. Is it or is it not an RPG?
I don't
probably
think it
is. Probably a shmup.
Oh, see, I was going to say I think it's like a beat-em-up type thing. Or like a karate champ.
Like you're using the fist of the dragon.
Right.
Nice, okay. We'll find out what it is next week.